morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is a continuation of a sermon series entitled Come to God's Presence, during which we've been considering various aspects of biblical worship and their significance for us today. This morning, we are looking at the role of worship for Mary and Joseph and the infant Jesus. Let's be for a moment in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Everyone knows the story about the birth of Jesus in a manger, but often little attention is paid to what happens next. What happens next, however, is quite significant. The Gospel of Luke, in that passage we heard a few moments ago, describes what unfolded immediately after the story of Christmas Eve with the birth of Jesus in the stable and the visit of the shepherds. The first event, 8 days after Jesus' birth, was the circumcision and the official naming of Jesus. The next major event, about 1 month after Jesus' birth, was the presentation in the temple. Mary and Joseph brought the infant Jesus to the temple in Jerusalem to perform an ancient Jewish ritual, which was called the presentation, or the redemption of the firstborn. In Hebrew, pidyon haben, which means redemption of the son. This ritual was based upon the ancient idea that the firstborn son belonged to God and would rightfully be devoted by the parents to serve God in the temple. But there was an option for the parents to redeem or buy back the child from temple service by making a specified donation to the temple. The Old Testament established 5 shekels as the price of redemption, which in New Testament days was about 20 days' wages for the average worker. So it was a sizable, though not insurmountable, sum. Today, most Jews continue to celebrate the Pidyon Haben ceremony for their children, usually just for boys, although some Jews also perform the ceremony for girls. The child is taken to a special rite of worship where the question is posed as to whether the parents wish to give their child or redeem their child for 5 shekels. In America today, $5 coins are used as the price of redemption, which makes it pretty cheap. And actually, you don't really have the option of giving your child to the synagogue, even if you wanted to. So it ends up being a kind of traditional child dedication ceremony. In the Old Testament, there is one prominent case of parents actually devoting their child to lifelong temple service in the story of Samuel. In New Testament times, however, it was expected that people would redeem their children by making the donation. What is especially interesting in the biblical story of Jesus is that there is no mention of Mary and Joseph paying the 5 shekels. This implies that they actually chose the other option of dedicating Jesus to lifelong service for God. At the same time, there was another ceremony that they were performing on the same day, a purification ceremony for Mary. This was required of every Jewish mother about a month after childbirth. The ritual called for a sacrificial offering of a lamb and a dove, or if the parents were poor, 2 doves. Mary and Joseph gave 2 turtle doves, an indication of their low position on the socioeconomic scale. What I find especially significant in all this is to note what Mary and Joseph chose to do with Jesus as their first major family trip following Jesus' birth. They took him to church. They were focused on their commitment to God. It is a poignant model for parents and families today. Certainly, if it was important for Jesus to go to church, it is centrally important for us to be involved in worship. You will note that I timed this sermon to coincide with one of our major celebrations of children participating in worship leadership in our children's Christmas musical, which we will be seeing in a few moments. So Mary and Joseph entered the temple. While they were there, they had an experience that is wonderfully indicative of what can happen for us as we participate in church life. They had a couple of encounters in which they came to clearly perceive Jesus' destiny and their own. The first encounter was with a man named Simeon. The scripture reports Simeon was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. When Simeon saw Jesus, he was inspired to recognize that Jesus was the one, and he took Jesus in his arms and pronounced a blessing, saying, "My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon perceived not only that Jesus was the Messiah for Israel, but that he was bringing salvation for the whole world. The next encounter was with a woman named Anna. Those in our congregation who are in their 80s may not appreciate the scripture when it says that Anna was of great age, having lived to 84. She likewise perceived who Jesus was, and the scripture says that she began to praise God and to speak about this child to all who were looking for the consolation of Jerusalem. In these encounters in the temple, all the people involved, Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph and multiple other worshipers who would have been there, gained insight into what God was doing. And this, I think, is a powerful picture of what can happen as we gather in worship today. In the midst of hearing God's word and sharing in prayer and joining in the music of worship, we can perceive what God is doing among us, and we can see what our intended destiny is as God's people. There's also a wonderful picture in the gospel story of the fact that we each have a divine calling and purpose at every point in life. Simeon and Anna were both near the end of their earthly journey. The scripture speaks of Simeon as though he already had one foot in the grave, as it says it had been revealed to him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. But Simeon and Anna were each called in a unique way to serve God right then and there in the temple. Meanwhile, Jesus was an infant and his parents were young adults. Throughout life, we can be a part of God's purpose so that we finally can conclude life as Simeon did with a deep peace, knowing that we abide in God. As the scripture reports, Simeon praised God saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace." The story of Jesus begins in a stable, and from there it moves directly to the temple, to the house of worship. And the story actually continues in that setting. Right after the story about Simeon and Anna, the very next story in the Gospel of Luke is the story of Mary and Joseph returning to the temple for the Passover celebration when Jesus was 12, and the story recounts how Jesus astonished the scribes with his knowledge of the scriptures. The Holy Family clearly grounded their life in worship. Their story thus provides a direct challenge to our own age, a time when most people consider it unimportant to connect themselves or their families in any way to worship, and many people are inclined to discount the rituals of worship. But the Gospels present the opposite model. Mary and Joseph perceive that the way to be a part of what God is doing is to join in the sacred rhythms of biblical worship. We are invited to share in that movement of faith and to present ourselves before God in praise and dedication. Let us pray. Lord, just as your Spirit came upon Simeon and Anna and inspired them to recognize Jesus in their midst, so inspire us, O God, to recognize how Christ is here among us, how you are here to work in our lives, how we have a purpose as your people and a wondrous destiny in your everlasting promises. Move us, O Lord, to respond by opening our hearts, by putting our trust in you, and by dedicating ourselves to live as your disciples, to share in how your Spirit would guide us in life. We thank you, O God, for your church, for the way that you draw us together today to join in worship, to grow in faith, to share as your people, and to reach out in mission to the world. We do reach out to persons in our church fellowship who are in times of particular need. We thank you, Lord, that you draw us into the larger body of your church, where we can join with others in reaching out in mission to the world. We lift up our fellow United Methodists at the Bethel Valley United Methodist Church this morning and pray you would inspire us as we seek to be instruments of your love in our own time. And Lord, we give special thanks this morning for children, for their witness among us. We ask your blessing upon those children who are to share in the musical this morning, and upon all of our children, all of our families. Lead us, O Lord, that we might join with the Holy Family in sharing in the working of your Spirit in our lives, growing together in faith and lifting our lives to you in praise and devotion. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's Notes from the Pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.